I want you to just try and visualize the internet for a second.
Okay.
Just the sheer overwhelming volume of it, of pixels. I mean, we are drowning in images.
Absolutely.
Every single minute, millions of photos get uploaded, shared, turned into memes, scrolled past. And because of that, there's this parallel pressure to edit them.
Right. You can't just post a raw photo anymore.
No. You have to filter it, crop it, retouch it, remix it.
It's the visual language of the modern economy, really. If you aren't communicating visually, you aren't really communicating at all.
And that brings us to the subject of today's deep dive. We are looking at Fotor. You've probably seen them. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. This massive all-in-one photo editor and AI hub. They've got tools for everything, background removal, AI avatars, you name it. But here's the number that it stopped me in my tracks while we were prepping.
Let me guess. The user count.
800 million users.
It's a staggering figure. Yeah. I mean, to put that in perspective, that is more than double the entire population of the United States.
Wow.
Fotor has, they've effectively democratized high-end photo editing. They took tools that used to require, you know, a $500 software license and maybe a four-year degree.
Right.
And they put them right in a browser where you just click a button.
But that scale, it just creates a nightmare scenario, doesn't it?
How so?
Well, 800 million users, even if only, 1% of them have a question today, like, how do I crop this or why does my background look weird? That's 8 million support tickets.
8 million frustrated people.
Exactly.
That is the David's versus Goliath problem of the content economy. You've got infinite distribution. You can reach everyone, but you have very finite production. You cannot hire enough people to hold 800 million hands.
Which is where our second player comes in. We're looking at this piece of tech called the Auto Content API.
Right.
The documentation calls it an industrial grade content engine. It's pitched as a notebook LM API alternative, which is a bit technical, but the promise is pretty wild.
They claim they can turn raw text and data into fully produced podcasts, videos, articles, all automatically.
Yeah.
So today we're going to run a simulation, a thought experiment.
Okay.
We're going to take Fotor, this massive visual platform, and sort of plug it into the Auto Content API. We want to see if this integration can actually solve that 800 million user bottleneck.
Or if it's just more AI hype.
Exactly.
I have to admit, I'm a little skeptical. I hear automated video creation and I immediately picture those robotic, uncanny valley avatars that look like they're having a stroke while trying to sell me crypto.
That's a fair hesitation. I think we've all seen the bad version of this.
Yeah.
But the unit economics and the quality shift we're seeing in the source material suggests we're kind of past that initial clumsy phase. We're moving from manual creation, one person painstakingly editing one video, to automated transformation.
Okay, so let's test that. Let's look at the first major pain point for Fotor, the explainer bottleneck. I spent some time on their site, and they have these incredibly specific text tutorials. How to remove emojis from pictures, how to blur part of a picture, how to crop someone out, things like that.
And those are high-intent search terms. If someone is Googling that, they're not just browsing for fun. They have a problem right now, and they're looking for a tool to fix it.
But they're reading text. And Fotor is a visual tool. If I'm trying to learn a visual process, I do not want to read three paragraphs of instructions. I want to see it.
You want a video. Every single data point confirms that. Video reduces friction. But here's the trap.
The cost.
Producing video is excruciatingly expensive.
Oh, I know. I've paid the invoices.
Then you know the math. A professional shoot, even for a simple explainer, runs anywhere from, $3,000 to $10,000 per project?
You want it to look good, yeah.
And even if you go scrappy, hire a freelancer, use stock footage, you're still looking at $50 to $300. Now, Fotor has thousands of features. You do the multiplication.
You'd bankrupt the company just trying to cover the letter A in the features list.
It is mathematically impossible to cover that surface area manually.
Okay.
So this is where the Auto Content API's explainer video endpoint comes in. Fotor takes that existing URL, the how to remove emojis page, and just feeds it to the API.
Walk me through what happens next, because this is where I get suspicious. Does it just scrape the text and throw it on a screen?
No, it's a bit more sophisticated than that. The API parses the HTML of the page. It identifies the headers, the H1, the H2s as scenes. It reads the instructional steps. Then it generates a script. It selects an AI avatar. And the sources note you can choose between professional or more casual speakers. And it syncs the voice, the subtitles, and the background visuals.
So it's building a storyboard on the fly.
Essentially. And the output is a 60 to 90 second video that looks like a human explaining the feature.
Okay, but let's talk price. The sources claim this cost about 400 credits.
Which works out to about 4 euros on their business plan.
See, that's the red flag for me. 4 euros. You can't get a decent sandwich for 4 euros.
Right.
If I'm Fodor, serving 800 million people, do I really want to risk my brand on a 4 euro video? Is it going to look cheap?
That is the trade-off question, isn't it? Is it going to look like a Spielberg film? No. But is it going to be better than a wall of text?
Well, yeah.
Absolutely. And more importantly, does it solve the user's problem instantly? Yes. The sources highlight case studies where adding these automated explainers, they didn't just look okay, they drastically reduced support tickets.
Because people actually watched them.
They watched them, they understood the feature, and they didn't have to email support asking, which button do I click? It's a defensive strategy. You deflect thousands of support hours for the price of a sandwich.
So it's lead generation and customer support rolled into one.
Exactly.
Okay, I can see the utility there. But let's pivot to something that feels, honestly, a little counterintuitive. We're talking Fodor, a photo editor, visuals. But the research points to a huge opportunity in audio.
Dominating the ear.
Yeah. Why would a photo editing company want to be in my headphones? I can't edit a photo while I'm driving to work.
You can't edit, no, but you can grow. This is about the creator economy. Fodor's users aren't just pressing buttons. They're entrepreneurs, they're marketers, content creators. They are trying to build businesses.
And you can't look at a screen 24/7.
Exactly.
That's fair. I listen to podcasts about writing while I'm doing the dishes. I'm not writing, but I'm thinking about it.
That is what we call mental availability. If Fodor only exists on your laptop screen, they are missing huge chunks of your day. The sources describe this as the notebook LM gap.
Right, Google's notebook LM. I've played with it. You toss in a PDF, gives you a little audio summary. It's cool.
It's very cool, but it has no API. You can't build a business on it. You can't automate it.
I see.
Auto content API fills that gap. So think about Fodor's blog. It's not just technical tutorials. They have articles on entrepreneurship, color theory and marketing, user stories.
Mark the entrepreneur.
Right.
So you're saying they could launch a Fodor Design School podcast.
Without ever booking a recording studio, they could programmatically send those blog posts to the API. The API can generate a two-way dialogue, a host, an expert, just like us, discussing the nuances of color theory.
Okay, but let's get into the voice cloning feature that's mentioned. This part gave me a bit of a pause.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the idea that the CEO or a brand ambassador records 1 minute of audio, and then the API can just wear their skin, like speak as them forever.
It does sound a bit Black Mirror, doesn't it?
A little.
But think about the efficiency. Let's say Fodor CEO wants to do a daily tip for small business owners. Here's how AI can help your shop today.
Okay.
To do that manually, he has to wake up, go to his studio, record, edit, upload every single day.
He's never going to do that. He's running a company.
He'll do it for 3 days and then quit. But with voice cloning, he records the sample once. Then the API pulls the tip of the day from their blog, generates the audio in his voice, and publishes it. So the user gets that personal connection, hearing the founder's voice on their commute. But the founder was asleep when it was made.
It creates a parasocial relationship at scale.
It builds trust. And in the software world, trust is the currency. If I trust Fodor to teach me about business, I'm going to use Fodor to build my business.
Okay, I want to zoom out again to that 800 million number. Because 800 million people do not all speak English.
No, they certainly do not. And this is usually where global companies just hit a brick wall.
The localization wall.
Creating content in English is hard enough. Now try doing it in Spanish, Chinese, Hindi, Portuguese.
It's a logistical nightmare. Usually it means hiring local teams, translating scripts, re-recording everything. It's slow, it's expensive.
And it usually happens months after the English launch.
So the Spanish users are always getting the old version of the product education.
They're second-class citizens in the content ecosystem. But the Auto Content API supports over 50 languages. And this is the key. It allows for instant globalization.
How instant are we talking?
Fodor releases a new feature, AI image generation. They make one high-quality English tutorial. The API automatically transcribes it, translates the text, resynthesizes the voiceover in the target language with the correct accent, and generates the video.
Does it fix the lip sync? Because nothing ruins a video faster than that 1970s kung fu movie dubbing effect.
The current generation of this tech includes lip sync correction. It adjusts the avatar's mouth movements to match the new language's audio.
That is wild.
There's a case study mentioned, a finance company, that launched their Spanish and English content on the exact same day.
The same day.
For Fodor, that means their total addressable market multiplies overnight. They aren't just translating words, they are translating the experience.
It's the babblefish. You put it in your ear or on your screen, and the language barrier just evaporates.
And that speed matters. In the digital age, being first is everything. If you can serve the Hindi market on launch day, you win that market.
Speaking of winning markets, let's talk about the invisible battleground, search. The outline mentions programmatic SEO. Now, I know SEO, but programmatic sounds robotic.
It is robotic in the best possible way.
Okay, for the listener who doesn't live in marketing spreadsheets, break this down for us. What is PSEO?
PSEO is the strategy of creating thousands of landing pages to catch very specific niche search queries.
Okay.
Fodor isn't just competing for the keyword photo editor. That's way too broad. They are competing for resume builder, YouTube thumbnail maker, wedding photo retouching.
Real estate sky replacement.
Exactly. The long tail of search. So you create a land page for each one of those terms. 5,000 pages.
Isn't that just spam? I mean, if I'm Google and I see Fodor spinning up 5,000 pages that are mostly identical, don't I penalize them?
You absolutely do. Google hates what they call thin content.
Yeah.
If you just copy-paste text and change the header from wedding to real estate, Google will bury you. You need unique value on every single page.
But nobody is going to write 5,000 unique articles, not even Fodor.
That's the dilemma. And that is the auto content fix. Imagine Fodor generates those 5,000 pages. But instead of just text, the API generates a unique podcast episode and a unique vertical video for each specific page.
Wait, so if I land on real estate sky replacement, I'm not just getting a generic welcome to Fodor video.
No, you're getting a video specifically showing you how to replace a sky in a real estate photo. And if you go to the wedding page, you get a tutorial on retouching veils and dresses.
That sounds like an insane amount of processing power.
It is. But look at what it does for the user metrics. It increases dwell time.
That's how long I stay on the page before clicking the back button.
Precisely. If there's a video, you watch it. If there's an audio tip, you listen. That signals to Google, hey, this page is actually useful. It's not spam.
Right.
It allows Fodor to dominate search results for niche terms that their competitors are just ignoring because they think those terms are too small to bother with.
It turns the crumbs into a feast.
It's using volume as a quality signal. You're flooding the zone, but you're flooding it with utility, not just keywords.
There's one last segment I want to touch on, and this one feels the most futuristic to me. We've talked about planned content tutorials, SEO pages, stuff you put on a calendar.
Right.
But the internet moves way faster than a calendar. The sources call this newsjacking.
Newsjacking is the art of jumping on a trend before it dies. And on the internet, trends have the lifespan of a fruit fly. They die in hours.
So how does a big company like Fodor move that fast? Usually by the time legal approves the tweet, the meme is, well, it's cringe.
The cringe factor is real. Speed is the only antidote.
Okay.
The auto content API integrates with data feeds from X Twitter and Reddit. It has social listening capabilities. But crucially for Fodor, it analyzes visual context.
What does that mean? It can see the meme.
It uses multimodal AI. So it doesn't just read the text of a tweet.
Yeah.
It analyzes the image attached to it. So let's paint a scenario. A new visual meme format goes viral on Reddit. Let's say it's, I don't know, retro sci-fi cats. Everyone is using AI to put their cats in spacesuits with neon lights.
I would absolutely click on that.
We all would. Now, normally, a social media manager needs to spot that trend, understand it, pitch a video idea, write it, edit it, post it.
That's a day, maybe two.
By then, everyone's moved on to cyberpunk dogs.
Right. You missed the wave.
With auto content, you set up a reaction loop. The API detects the spike in retro sci-fi cat images. It uses its deep research function to understand the aesthetic. Then it automatically generates a script for a TikTok short explaining how to turn your cat into a sci-fi hero using Fodor.
It writes the script, produces the video, and posts it.
It posts to TikTok Reels and Shorts via what the sources call headless operation. It's just background code. No human needs to click upload.
So Fodor becomes the tool of choice for the trend while the trend is actually happening.
Exactly. They're riding the wave, not chasing it. And the cost perspective is wild. You don't need a social team staring at Twitter 24/7. You have an API watching the world for you.
It really changes the definition of what a company is. Photos stops being just a tool I use to crop a photo. It becomes, well, almost like a media company.
A media company that runs on autopilot.
So let's try to pull this all together. We started with this massive problem. How do you serve 800 million people in a world of content saturation?
And the answer seems to be a fundamental shift in production. We're moving from linear production, where one human makes one asset, to parallel production, where one input creates many assets at the same time.
It's all about scale.
It's scale, but it's also democratization. The cost drops from hundreds of dollars per asset to just cents. That doesn't just save money. It unlocks types of content like those 5,000 personalized SEO videos that were previously economically impossible.
Yeah. I want to leave the listener with a thought here, and I want your take on this because it feels like a bit of a paradox.
Hmm.
We've been talking about Photor, which is a tool for human creativity. It helps people make art.
Right.
But we're describing a system where AI is teaching people how to use that tool.
It is a paradox.
Does that bother you? If the tool uses AI to teach you, does the distinction between the creator and the tool start to disappear? Or are we just automating the boring stuff?
I think we have to look at it as clearing the runway. Learning a new software interface that isn't creative, reading a manual isn't art.
True.
If the AI can handle the friction, the learning curve, the troubleshooting, then the human can get straight to the creative part.
So the robot handles the manual and I handle the masterpiece.
That's the promise. But it does mean the definition of creator is shifting. We're becoming directors of these systems rather than just operators.
That is something I'm going to be thinking about for a while. Thanks for diving deep with us today.
Always a pleasure.